First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
Hello and welcome back to Fishy Radio. I'm Dee and I'm here with my two gals, Dee Dee and Heather. Y'all, tell the boys hi.
Holla.
Hey, ladies.
Today, we're talking about
live bait
versus
fake bait.
That's right. That's right. So, Jeannie.
Get us started.
Why don't you start with the fake crap first?
What are you trying to say?
Fake bait.
All right. So, I'm a fake bait fisherman.
Yes.
I like my fake bait.
You are.
I fished with live bait, greenbacks primarily, for years. I just started fake baiting about 2 to 3 years ago. And I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with live bait. I ain't saying it. I think it's great. It's a great way to catch fish, but I just, after you do it for so long, for me, it lost the challenge. And so that was why I went to fake bait. Actually, that's not true. I got a divorce. And that was why I went to fake bait. But it worked out well.
You only use live bait?
Yes. So, I bought my own boat and I didn't want to get it dirty. So, I didn't want to throw a cast net anymore. So, I'm like, hey, that looks like a shrimp. Let me try it.
Right.
So, I bought the one in the tackle shop and I didn't
have
to.
You bought the fake shrimp.
I did. I didn't. Listen, my boat's so clean. So clean. I love it. So, anyhow, I do have to admit, I have, believe it or not, I have caught bigger fish on fake bait than I've ever caught on live bait. And that's another thing, too, is I'm not a quantity person. I'm very much a quality person. So I don't like to go out and slay the little juvies all day. I mean, I don't mind it. Trust me, I don't mind it. But I really like to go out and find that big girl, the big one. So the other thing is, too, again, I got a divorce. Now I'm learning how to do all this stuff on my own. I have to learn how to do all of this. So navigation is one thing that I have to learn on my own. And, you know, with fake bait, I have to cover a lot of ground. I have to put my trolling motor down, and I have to cover a lot of ground. And I can see a lot
it's
of things.
Workout.
I can learn a lot of
it's
stuff. It's a workout. I can learn a lot. I can go a lot of places with just a trolling motor, and I can learn as opposed to sitting in one spot, throwing it out there, and let the greenback do the work. And, you know, again, on top of that, I have to be a hell of a damn caster. And I'm not saying live baiters don't, but I'm saying you can get close and let the bait do the rest for you.
You've seen me throw them live crabs, right?
Right.
You see me cast them live crabs,
but girl, when I am working a mangrove, when I'm working that shoreline and beating them bushes, like, I have to be underneath bushes, skipping it underneath them bushes.
Yeah, because you catch the infamous tree trout.
Don't think I ain't caught that thing a time or two.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, on the other hand, listen, if you ain't catching the trees all day, you ain't fishing close enough to the mangroves.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
You
but
ain't
yes,
doing it right.
My trolling motor does get a workout, both going down the shoreline and doubling back to the shoreline for the one that's 10 foot up in the mangroves, too, sometimes.
See, I do the same way with live shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will throw out the stick it or the power pole, and they'll just wait for them to come to them. Even with them big old shrimp, not me. I think I got like attention deficit because I cannot stay still no matter what. And you know, if you throw a big old juicy, you know, long shrimp, big old hand picked jumbo shrimp out there, and you get it right where it needs to be, and they don't hit that within the first 30 seconds to a minute. I mean, are you going to keep throwing it there? Maybe a couple more times, but after that, you got to go.
Right.
You're going to sit there and wait for him.
I mean, that's true, too, because you're going to have like a catfish come pick it up eventually or something,
which
you know? But I used to do
the
same
thing
with greenbacks, you know, as well. I would put my trolling motor down and I'd be, you know, from me to you, 5 feet off of the mangroves, and I'd throw directly in front of me. With a greenback, just throw them out there and then reel them in, throw them out there and reel them in, because that is that reactionary strike that you're looking for. But you get about three casts with a greenback and you're done. Now it's time to go put a new lively one on. And with fake bake, I just
don't got to go through that.
Don't have to worry about that. I just don't.
Well, when it comes to live bait, if I use anything other than a shrimp or anything that didn't come off the shrimp boat, like I said before, I would have to find somewhere else to eat Thanksgiving dinner, you know.
That is definitely
so. I guess it's just the way, you know. But here lately, I've been trying to throw quote unquote fake bait, just because I like not having to make that stop to the bait shop in the morning. I mean, I'm sorry, but sometimes, you know, it's just better. Plus, you don't got to run the live well. You don't have to do none of that. You
it's
just
so true.
Dig into the tackle box. And
there is a lot of benefits to fake bait. There really is. Just like you said, the live well, especially in my boat, because I have a, you know, heavy 150 that already hangs on the back of it with a jack plate with a 6-foot offset. I mean, my boat's tail heavy. very tail heavy. So when I turn that live well on, oh my God, it takes me 20 minutes to get on plane, you know. But there's that. You don't have to stop. You don't have to throw the net and get your boat all dirty. There is a lot of benefits.
I will say this. There's been many times, and still to this day, where you can go when the sun just breaks up, or even when it's pitch dark out still, and you can't see, you know. And then you just see the ripple in the water, and you throw that cast net, and you bring that in. Some people might think that smell is really rancid, nasty, fishy smell, but there's nothing like that in the first thing in the morning.
I don't know why.
I'm calling me crazy.
I love throwing a cast net. I love watching somebody throw the cast net. I love picking up all the greenbacks off the bottom of the boat.
I see where you're going with this.
I really do love it. I really do. I love it on somebody else's boat. I have a lot of fun doing that on somebody else's boat. I guess I've gotten snobby.
You're one of them uppity fishermen I see these days.
I must be. I absolutely, you know, I used to do
when
that
I get
stuff
my boat back to the dock, it looks like there was some crime scene happening. You know what I mean? Stuff everywhere. Seaweed. Screw shells.
Yep, I know. Mine goes through like the 2-hour spa treatment every time she gets loaded off the trailer.
What in the world?
But now that being said, you know, a shrimp, there are certain times of the year I won't use anything but a shrimp, put it on that Rockport rattler, that clacker jig head, and I'll pull up some just unbelievable redfish. I mean, there are certain times of the year that I still use, you know, live bait every now and again. Or cut bait every now and again, depending on the time of year. But primarily, I love me a topwater plug. Yeah. And just like you're, you know, getting out there at dark and throwing that cast net, I'm the same way. You get out there at dark or gray light, just as that sun's coming up and it's calm, there's no wind, it's quiet, you're throwing that topwater plug and all you hear is that clack, 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 clack. And then all of a sudden that water explodes. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
Yes.
So I get both sides of it. I love both.
I'm starting to see the alternative side to it, because I'm not saying that it's easier, but it's less headache sometimes, you know, where it comes to cleanliness and having to wake up 2 hours before you go out on a trip because you got to catch bait or go to the bait shop, and hopefully they get there at 6 o'clock when they're supposed
to. Right,
you know, so I can understand that.
But my easier, like my clean boat, you know, again, I can't just go out there and set up and throw in a hole, you know. I'm working all day long. I'm jigging all day long. I have to have, you know,
we've talked about it before,
my CI4, because it's, you know, it's 0.4 ounces or whatever because my wrist is constantly going. So, I mean, there's, you know, there's obviously pros and cons to both. But.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing with live bait, or I guess it's really not live bait, it's dead bait, but it's live bait, is nothing like, and I learned this from one of my buddies that's an old mullet fisherman, and he told me, you go, you get mullet one day. He said, this is kind of gross to you, but you can get through it. He's like, okay. Get you a couple mullet, and you chop them up into chunks. I'd say probably an inch or inch and a half chunks. Leave the head in there, the tail in there, the whole shooting match, the guts, everything. Bloody the better. More bloody, the better. You put it like in a coffee can or a bucket, and you leave that sucker outside all day. And the next morning when you get in there, I said, man, I ain't no way. And people lose limbs for that, doing that kind of stuff and that stuff. I ain't doing that. But I'm telling you what, put your chunk on there like that with a little egg sinker.
Yeah.
No, don't even need a leader. Right to the hook with the egg sinker and a big old chunk of nasty. You know, I ever watched that alligator show where they put their bait on there and it's like the chicken's like rancid green?
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty much what I'm talking about. And you could launch that you could cast that thing for a country mile.
What you are find you gonna
you a
catch with?
You find you a pothole.
Okay.
Throw that sucker in a pothole and just hold on. Them redfish cannot live without that.
They love it, huh?
And you know, you're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And you know, usually what they'll do is they'll swim up to it and they'll run into it. Because I don't really think they have good sight, but they have real good smell, I think.
Right. Yep.
And you'll feel a bump.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Don't get crazy like I used to, man. I used to, I got him, you know what I mean? Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, oh, I don't got him, yeah. And he'll bump it a couple times, and I'm about two or three times. I mean, he destroys that thing.
Yeah.
And I really think because it's so nasty, they come out of everywhere, every orifice. to come get it.
The nastier, the better, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be my go-to bait, especially in the summertime, I'd say.
Heather, we have completely taken over the entire show.
That's
Let's
okay.
hear it, Heather. No, you. Heather, you
I
do.
Have a question for y'all.
Okay.
Cost wise, maybe the difference. You throw in lures. You're on the mangroves. How easy is it for you to get it unstuck from the trees, as opposed to D? You getting your shrimp stuck up in the tree, and you trying to get your single hook out, as opposed to the treble hooks.
Well, obviously the single hook's probably going to be a lot easier to get out of. Don't think you did. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. This won't happen again. Pull up the anchor or whatever. Put up the power pole. We got to go get this thing. I paid $12 for this lure.
You ain't kidding.
Not leaving
every
without
time.
It.
Every time. I don't leave without my lure.
No, every time.
But so I do have several. I tote several poles on my boat because. Yeah, sometimes it does happen. Well, they get up there, but when they get up there, if you're in a good spot and then you get up there and you throw that thing in the bushes, you're not going to run up there after it. Like, you've still got another pole. So before you blow that spot to you know.
You bring up a very valid point. I'm going to tell you, dude, you're smart. You bring up a very valid point. It depends on how the fishing's going at the time. Let's say that.
Right.
You know, if you're onto them, you're two or three deep, and you're onto a school of them, or you see them tailing.
It's going to stay.
You whip that sucker up underneath there, and it skips into the mangroves. I've been known to cut that sucker off, get it as tight as I can, cut it off, leave it in that bush for a couple more, 5, 10, 20, whatever, minutes. I'll come back for that sucker.
I'll leave it sitting there.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It depends, you know.
Pick up another pole and keep fishing that area.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, no, I mean, they are plugs. Good plugs are not, they're not cheap, you know.
And you know what? The one that you always throw in the mangrove is the one you just took out of the package. It's only your third cast.
Every time. Yes, Murphy's Law. Always, Murphy's Law.
Always happens.
So then when I'm, you know, when I'm finally done fishing that spot and I pull out all the, you know, the 40-inch snook and I'm done, I go up there and I'll get the plug. But so when I go up there and now, you know, the front of your boat's all up in the mangroves, I don't worry about actually getting the plug out. What I'll do is I'll just grab limb that the bush that the plug is on, snap off that one limb, and that's what I'm going to take back to the boat, and then I'm going to get my boat out of there because it's usually oystery up there, you know, up in the mangroves, and then I'm going to get out of there, and then I'll worry about getting my plug off.
See, that's another thing too with the single hook, like with a shrimp on it. For the most part, you can pretty much yoink on it pretty good enough to. For the most part, get it out. And believe me, I've become quite the professional and I get it out of the bushes.
So, anything like a topwater. So, if I'm throwing topwater, it's going to have the treble hooks on it. And that's going to be that's going to be. And those topwaters, because they're so heavy, you can sling them things so they can absolutely get away from you. Absolutely get away from you. You just sent that thing 40 feet in the air and you have no, you know.
Well, that's usually what happens, you know, when you cast that big old shrimp and you're like, it starts to go, and then the wind picks up, and then it starts to go up higher. And you're like, uh-oh, uh-oh.
Yep.
And then when it finally drops, it's only like 3 feet.
Yep. Yeah.
But your line is half spooled out. Your line's... Yeah, I've had that happen. That does happen.
But then most of the time, if I'm not throwing topwater, my bait of choice is weedless. So I can throw that thing in the mangroves, and with just a kind of a twitch, you know, I don't have to yank on it, but just kind of a twitch, I can, it'll fall down, you know, right at the end, the edge of the mangroves, and then
I can. And I'll say too, man, think back when you went fishing and the fish that you caught. Most of all the time, those casts that get up in the mangroves just a little bit and you snatch it out of there and it comes out.
Yep.
Boom.
Those are the good ones. That's exactly right. It usually gets hit.
You know, same thing with the shrimp, because you want it up on top of that stuff. That's where the fish are.
Right.
And sometimes you get lucky and you just snatch it out and it pops into the water. Boom. Yep. Now you're doing something.
I see a lot of people that'll just, you know, give her hell, you know, and try to get it. But if you just, you know, kind of take the wrist and twitch it, that thing will just fall, and it'll fall right where you just meant to throw it 90% of the time, you know. And hey, as soon as it falls down, I know you've done this, Heather, too.
Casting them out there, snatching on them so hard they almost come back and hit you. Boom! Watch out, y'all!
Let me tell you.
Watch out, y'all. Incoming.
Yes, yes. And my fishing partner is the absolute worst about that. I swear to God, that's the way I'm going to die. By him snatching his plug out of the tree.
Just recently, you had one in your hand. Next time, you could be one in the eyeball or something.
I'm telling you. And every time he does it, I put my sunglasses on really quick. That is exactly how I'm going to die, is by that hilarious. Man snatching his plug out of the mangrove. But yeah, I got one in my finger, the treble hook in my finger a couple weeks ago, and that did not feel good. And it didn't actually feel bad. Like, I didn't feel it go in my finger. It happened so quickly that I didn't even feel it. I didn't even know it until I looked down and saw it. And then my brain was like, right. My brain was like, that's not supposed to be there. Let's panic. And I'm like, we can't do that. We still have to go all the way to the boat ramp. But my brain's like, no, we're going to panic. That was not fun.
I guess I'll wrap it up. Live bait versus fake bait is basically what?
It's personal preference, really. And I truly do. I personally don't think
one works better than the other. Do you?
I think it more depends on the circumstance where you're
or
fishing.
Or the time,
what you're doing,
the year.
The time. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
What do you think?
It does.
You know, it's just, again, for me, it's the challenge of, you can pull up, and listen, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm really not, because I did this for years. But you can pull up to a hole where you know there's fish. You can take your wiffle ball bat and fill it full of greenbacks. And throw it out there and watch all the fish pop, and then put one on your fishing pole and throw it out there and get a fish.
Or you can just put you on one of them big old jumbo shrimp.
Yeah.
With no weight, no nothing.
Yeah.
And you can sling that sucker as far as you could get it.
Right.
And if sucker's not even in the water a split second, it don't seem like sometimes.
Right.
And you're on.
Right. So I guess, you know, in shrimp, definitely shrimp, fishing with shrimp is definitely different than, you know, fishing with greenbacks, which is definitely different than fishing with pinfish versus fake bait. You know, they're all different. Mm-hmm. I do think that they all have their place. They all have their place. I think there's a certain time of year for shrimp. There's a certain time of year for greenbacks. There's a certain time of year for cut bait.
Yeah.
My time of year for fake bait is all year long. But like I said, I do love my shrimp and my Rockport Rattlers, too. Like, I do love them. So, I mean, I don't really...
I hate to say that
just throwing them handful of greenbacks out there and then throwing your fishing pole in the middle of them is, you know, to me, that's the scenario I think of. When I think of the challenge, that to me is not a challenge. That's like shooting a deer standing broadside under a feeder at 250 yards through a scope. I mean, that's my opinion.
That's your preference?
And, you know, again, like I said, I did that for years. I did it for years and years. It taught me how to fish. It got me interested in fishing. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that I've moved into the fake bait world because that's not nearly as easy.
Well, actually, so. what really started getting me into the fake bait thing is bass fishing.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people use worms, or I can't keep them on a hook good enough.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I did the same thing.
So I started using plastic frogs, plastic worms.
Yep.
And I love it's just different, you know.
That was exactly what
I like
got
it because you're constantly
bait.
Moving. You know what I mean. It's like a hunt. You're on the hunt.
Speaking of hunting and constantly moving, stone crab season opened up. So now we're out there skiing stone crab traps. Yeah.
Which
triple tail, that's a whole nother show. I can't wait to get out there and get some triple tail. But more importantly, let's talk about how to eat a stone crab because I hear.
Okay, so I was thinking to myself when I was trying to think of a good recipe for stone crabs, and I was like, you know, I made it with linguine and butter and garlic. That's good. But then I'm like, you know what? There is nothing like a good old-fashioned boil pot. Get the biggest pot you can. Us at the house, we're rednecks, so we use the propane burner with the big old pot. Get you your favorite drink. You know what? Your drink. Your favorite drink.
Not your favorite drink.
Not your drink. Your favorite drink.
Big difference.
You know what I mean? And you just so simple, boil them suckers. Throw them in the middle. We usually get paper.
Okay.
Back in the day, we used newspaper. But I guess that might be a bad thing these days. I don't know.
Really? Why?
I don't know. People
is there
say,
a thing about that now?
Nah.
Oh, Jesus.
People don't even know what a newspaper is this day. People don't even know what a newspaper
is these days.
That's true.
Go get the internet. Get your computer monitor.
You put some paper or a nice tablecloth down. You take that pot after it's done boiling. You just throw it on the table. Hey, we're savages. We do this for dinner. We do this in the house for dinner. You know what I mean? Big old bowl of freaking drawn butter.
Yeah.
And your favorite drink. Don't forget that. Which
apple and some Mountain Dew.
That's right. People thought I was crazy.
No. That's good stuff right there.
That's mine. Crown apple and Mountain Dew.
That is my go-to.
Or some moonshine. That's always good, too.
Always good.
But that's easy. Simple. Big old crab boil. Nice, simple, easy.
Yeah?
Yeah, to the point.
So how long do you boil them?
Until they turn red, until they float to the top. I got it down. I think it's like two drinks.
Drinks or drank?
Drank.
Drank. Oh, drank. Dranks.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was sitting at home. I was like, you know, I have a good recipe, like a butter garlic linguine with crab. It's all good. But I said,
butter,
you know,
garlic,
what?
Linguine. That sounds good.
Let's just let her eat. That's just, no, we're going old school. We're going friggin' old fashioned. You went to the old-fashioned hoedown this weekend, right?
I went to the old-fashioned hoedown,
right, so
yes,
at the
ma'am.
House, we're old-fashioned cooking. We're doing the hoedown at the house.
And some of that mountain music.
Yes, there's nothing better than that. Sometimes people think if you don't do it that way, you're screwing it up. You know what I mean? You ain't doing it right, you know what I mean?
Heather, do you eat stone crab?
I have not yet, but I would love to.
Do you
to
fish
try
triple tail?
I do.
Sounds like the making of another
fish. Is that your phone
radio
ringing?
Show?
It?
Right?
She taking a triple tail. Okay.
We're going triple tail fishing.
All right, let's go.
That's fun.
I'm down.
Talk about fishing a barrel, man.
You ain't kidding.
Just find you a nice big buoy.
Yep.
With a big old doormat shadow
throw
underneath
your shrimp,
of it.
Yeah. Look like a paper bag under there or a plastic bag.
Boom.
Throw you a shrimp on it.
All right, Dee. So you'll take your recipe and put it on a fishy radio on Facebook?
I will. All you need is water and heat. And butter. And drinks.
Drinks. All right. That's the most important part.
All right. Well, that wraps up our show for tonight. Ladies.
Woo, woo.
Bye, girls.
Tight lines.
Bye-bye, Naya.
Deuces. Shut up and fish.